Did you ever wonder what your pastor didn't say on Sunday? This is the Afterthoughts Show, a podcast inspired to help Christians walk with Jesus throughout the week. Your hosts are Zane Garza and Pastor Chris Chadwick from Canyon Ridge Baptist Church in San Diego, California. And we'll talk about biblical truths that didn't make it into Sunday morning's message.
I'm Zane Garza.
I'm Chris Chadwick.
Welcome to another episode of the Afterthoughts Show, a podcast to help and encourage Christians throughout their week. And it's Wednesday, and I'm feeling pretty good about the week so far. How about you?
Well, you've had 2 days off. You should feel pretty good about the week.
I do. Thank you. It's been a great 2 days.
That's great.
How are your days off?
It was good, man. I didn't realize how tired I was. I mean, we've been going hard at Canyon Ridge really since February 12th.
Since you got over COVID, I feel like.
Yeah.
I mean, you got COVID in January, and after that,
I've been running like mad. February, Columbia, March, Cambodia, Easter in April, Texas in May. I was gone for 10 days and just really had the great joy of expending myself a lot for the cause of Christ, I think, and preaching youth rallies and then being with my folks and my parents. And that was a great joy, and doing a bunch of little things around their house. You know, they're getting older. I mean, my mom's 75, my dad's 78. So taking care of some stuff for them, got to see my brother, but I came home. I was tired. And so, yeah, it was nice to have 2 days off.
That's awesome.
So,
yeah. What church were you at in Texas?
I was at Heritage Baptist Church in Hazlett, Texas.
Okay.
And it's one of those, Texas is weird because the area that they're in is like the heritage area. Like, I don't know that you'd have that in California or New York, like the heritage area. And I know a lot of Heritage Baptist churches, and that's great. But I was like, oh, it's, you know, I mean, I've never been to the church before. It's a great church, great youth rally. 200 teenagers were there and got to preach the gospel and hopefully encourage them. And so, and then preached at the church on Sunday. And got to see one of my mentors on Monday. So
that's awesome. Now, the pastor of that church, Heritage Baptist, was John Moore. And he used to be an intern at Canyon Ridge Baptist Church?
The youth pastor there is John Moore. A youth pastor, music pastor. And he was an intern here in 2011, 2012. And because it's been about 12 years. I think 2011 is when he left. He left to get married. And he certainly made the right decision. He married a wonderful lady. She's godly and loves the Lord and great spirit. And so, yeah, I really enjoy him and his family.
How is it as a pastor to see somebody who was an intern at Canyon Ridge serving in full-time vocational ministry?
Yeah, it's a great joy. You know, I mean, and there's always kind of a relationship, like, you know, I don't know. I always feel like I'm kind of a cross between a comedian, a coach, and the class clown. I mean, that's just the story of my life. And so, but some people actually are like, oh, we need your wisdom. And so I just pop off with dumb statements like, you need my wisdom. Well, that's a short conversation. So we had a great, great time. And it's humbling. It's encouraging. It's exciting to see. And we have several who are in the ministry today that were summer interns, part of the program here for the summer. And it's a great joy to see that.
Super cool. Super cool. Pray that we keep seeing that from our interns.
No, absolutely. Whether they're in vocational ministry or just faithfully serving the Lord at their church, what matters is that they do God's will with their life. Yeah. And I'm very, very thankful for John and Edith, Raphael Pride and his wife, Jordan Solis, Josh Marcourt, just a lot of guys, Elijah Gonzalez, that are all and many others that I'm forgetting some. So if I forgot you, it's not intentional. I didn't know we were talking about this. And but many, many others who are faithfully serving the Lord.
Amen. Well, Mother's Day at Canyon Ridge was a great service. I was a huge fan of the message, personally.
Really?
I was. And I wanted to ask you, what led you to the Book of Ruth for Mother's Day?
Honestly?
No, you can lie.
I just really felt led of the Lord to preach on Naomi. And, you know, I've preached 20 Mother's Day messages. And it's like, okay, I just want to preach something fresh for me. So it was an atypical style in that it was a character study, not verse by verse. Normally we're a verse by verse. And so we just looked at a character study of Naomi. And I thought it was good to have a different style. People learn different ways. And it was just, God encouraged my heart that way. So I've really been meditating on that passage and thinking about that passage for the last, or the book, for the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Cool. Is there anything that you wish you would have said? Now, you said a lot at the 10:30 service.
I did. I said a lot.
you went off script. It was great. But is there anything that maybe hindsight, you look back and you're like, man, I should have said this?
I normally think of things I shouldn't have said. So I don't ever go home going, I wish I would have said. There are things I wish I hadn't said. I wish I had just encouraged moms. With that said, I wish I would encourage moms. And I think I did. I would have wanted to give a little more attention to, hey, you're going to make it. God's grace is abundant. Trust in the Lord. Don't feel like you're a failure because your kids had a bad day, even a bad week, even a bad month or year. Like, hey, just stay the course. Keep following Christ. Don't give up. And your kids are going to come through. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. And we understand the proverb there is Solomon telling Rehoboam to help his kids pick a career and train him in that career the entirety of their life. It's not simply train your kids to go to church. But it can be applied with train your kids to go to church, give them a moral foundation, give them a godly foundation, and do it with consistency. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. So I really kind of wish I would have encouraged moms more. And in my Monday evaluation of what I said, that's the thing that I probably regret more, was like, hey, I should have been more of an encouragement, though I felt like it was a challenge. And I think you guys could tell me, John sitting behind the camera could tell us if it was encouraging enough. Sometimes I get very clear, like, hey, do this, 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 and it can become overwhelming. And I don't ever enjoy doing that. And sometimes I just forget. So sure. I don't know. Did I?
Well, I only remember one thing, a message anyway, so I'm not going to be overwhelmed. No, but I was encouraged. I mean, there were some great take-home truths that I'll talk about or bring up as we go on, but I don't think it was overwhelming, and I think there's a lot of practical things like, okay, this is where I am, but I can do this, and it's about the big picture. Like you said, you might have a bad day, a bad month, a bad year even, but it's not about 1 year out of your life.
Right.
It's about the longevity of it all.
If I could get people to see that, I think pastors, as a general rule, understand that. I think sometimes we struggle to communicate that. And so people feel like a failure if they've had a bad day, a week, a month, or a year. And the Christian life is a marathon, man. Mm-hmm. And I used to be a runner. Now I'm a lifter, but both principles are the same. If you're running a marathon, you might have a bad couple of miles. Don't quit because you had a bad couple of miles. You'll get through that. Just keep running, and you're going to hit a wall at some point and just keep going. If you have to slow down and walk, but finish the course. Run the race set before you.
Yeah. Well, the title of the message this Sunday was An Influencer of Faith. And so I've been just thinking about what an influencer is, and you talked about that a little bit, but I had this question: who should we allow to influence us as Christians?
Oh man, that's a great question. You should allow people that are strong in areas where you are weak. In a general sense, in a specific sense, you should allow godly people who are strong to influence you in areas where you are weak. Let me illustrate this. I've been preaching. I preached my first message when I was 9. So I'm 50. So for 41 years. How's that sound? Great. There was a long wait in between, but I really surrendered at 21. So I've been preaching for 29 years, very, very regularly. Most of that time, twice a week for 21 years. But there's areas in preaching where I'm weak. Like I feel like I felt about 6 months ago like I wasn't good at drawing in the net of the gospel. I would preach the gospel and just kind of leave it like a hanging chad in the room. And so I really began to pray and think and ask the Lord for some wisdom and some help. And the Lord guided me to listen to a certain pastor who probably I might not agree with everything that he says. Not, he's not heretical or anything. We would just have some minor disagreements on some stuff. Great dude. Really loves Jesus with all his heart. Did an amazing work. But he is phenomenal at drawing in the net and bringing the gospel to life in every passage. And so I've been listening to him because he influences me to do a better job. I want people like that influencing me. If I need help with finances, I want somebody who's godly, who has their finances under control, who's got good and kind and helpful. If I'm bad at physical fitness or whatever, same thing. I need somebody to influence me. If I'm a mom, I need a godly lady who has worked hard to have successful kids. I don't need somebody in my same condition, in my same age group, per se, to be my influencer. They could be my helper. They could run the race with me.
Encourage you.
They could encourage me, and they should. But I probably, especially if I'm younger, now that I'm getting older, there's not very many people older. You know, I mean, I'm 50, so there's not a whole lot of people older, but I want to draw from them. I mean, I went to Oklahoma City after being in Fort Worth before I went to Amarillo just to have a meal with a mentor. That was it. I spent 2 days and a couple hundred dollars simply to have a 1.5 hour meal with a mentor. But with that aside, I really want to find some people who are older than me that can help me and encourage me. Foolish is the person who thinks they can do it on their own. The Bible says a wise man will hear and increase in learning. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. That certainly happens at the church, but we need those one-on-one relationships. Iron sharpens iron, Proverbs 27:17. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceit. Exhort one another daily while it is called today. And what we've done in American Christianity today is we've used podcasts to replace one-on-one relationships. And God doesn't say, listen, God says sharpen. God doesn't say, listen, God says, encourage. And you need one-on-one relationships. And people say, well, they're hard and they say things I don't like. Yeah, that might be the very thing that you need.
Amen.
And I've got some friends that are jerks, but I love them. They love me. And we'll sit across the table from one another and they'll challenge me and I'll challenge them. That's a good thing. And so who should you allow to influence you? As best as you can, to the best of your ability, godly people in one-on-one relationships. If that can't happen, okay, let's go to the next level. Grab a podcast. It's a degraded level. It's a level down, but let's go to a podcast of some godly people who can really influence us.
Sure, sure. I mean, podcasts are a great help, but that person on the other side of whatever you're listening to it through, the medium which you're listening, doesn't see into your life.
And you don't see into theirs.
Right.
And sometimes people, this is, oh, my soul, this is a big hobby horse of mine. I wish everybody would understand that most people, the Bible says every man will proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. I get so tired of hearing people talk about how amazing they are. Oh, I just want to lose my mind. Tell me how big a screw-up you are, because I already know you are one. And if you're not one, then you're Jesus. Then you're a heretic, and we don't want you anyway. So my dad was telling me the other day, he said, a few years ago, I heard a pastor preach. He said in 30 years, he and his wife hadn't gotten in a fight in 30 years. I said, what'd you think? He said, I lost all respect for him and wanted to leave the meeting. I said, yeah, that's right, because if you've gone 30 years without fighting with your wife, you're married to a stuffed animal for crying out loud. So what that dude told my dad is, I'm married to a stuffed animal, and I've heard guys do that. You're just, it doesn't mean you have a good marriage. It means you probably have a crappy marriage. Because yes, that's crappy at Canyon Ridge, because there is no relationship without conflict. You're firing me up. It's Wednesday morning.
This is great.
Yeah.
I'm just smiling because I asked the question that got that ball rolling, and so... I think I'm doing my job, hopefully. So having somebody who influences you, you have that one-on-one relationship, mm-hmm. that other person that's speaking into your life, they're also going to see things. And this is one of your points that you're not going to see about yourself. One of your points was Naomi saw in Ruth what she could not see. Can you draw from that a little bit more? Because that was one of the points that I remember that I was like, oh man, this is why we need influencers in our life. Because if I'm looking at myself, I'm a failure. I'm a mess up. I can't make it. But somebody else from the outside looking in can encourage you.
Yeah, Ruth thought that from the context, Ruth never imagined that Boaz would have anything to do with her. There's probably a multitude of reasons. The scripture doesn't give us insight, but she's a Moabite. Mm-hmm. Jews and Moabites were never supposed to even have relationships. They were never supposed to get married. The Jews hated the Moabites, and I think vice versa. So Ruth is like, no way. Boaz is a very wealthy businessman. Ruth is a widowed Moabite living on really kind of the graciousness of this wealthy man that says you can glean what's left over in my field, and hopefully there's enough for you and your mother-in-law to survive. And so I'm just going to make, in my own mind, if somebody has a different position, it's fine. It's a narrative. So sometimes narratives allow for too much flexibility. So that's why I say in my mind, and that's why I said it on Sunday, Ruth was not someone with a great amount of confidence. We don't know if Ruth was pretty, if she was not pretty. We don't know if Ruth was accepted, if she was unaccepted. What we know is that Naomi saw something in Ruth that Ruth didn't see in herself. Mm-hmm. And God tells us to encourage one another. And encourage literally means courage, prefix in, put courage into somebody. Everybody needs somebody in their life that's like, dude, you can make it. Stop whining. You can make it. I'll help you develop a plan to make it. And so she saw something in her that others did not see in herself. Sometimes we get really, really negative and we're like, that guy thinks he can do anything. He can't do anything. He's a loser. I don't want to hang around those people. I want people who encourage me to do greater things. That's why the Bible says, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting, that word means building up one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I want to build you up. I want to help you accomplish greater things for Christ than you've ever thought possible. Now, sometimes that happens with a little bit of rebuke, but most of the time we are all down on ourselves and we need somebody to say, come on, man, I'll help you. Let's go. Let's go. You can do this. And Naomi's like, I got a plan and you're going to be his wife. And here's what it is, you know, and that's just, and I think Ruth's like, you crazy old lady, what are you talking about? In my mind, she's like, okay, grandma, you know, you nut job. Ruth took the courage of Naomi. I think of Esther. Esther took the courage of Mordecai. I think of Jonathan and David. They took the courage of each other. They put courage into one another. Elijah and Elisha. Elijah put courage in. The disciples, Jesus, put courage in. Paul and the churches. Paul put courage into people. We need to be encouragers for crying out loud. Your kids need you to encourage them. Like, hey, I know you're scared. Jump in. Get in the pool. You'll be fine. So put courage into people for crying out loud. You can make that lift. You can go on that hike. You can kill that deer. You can do whatever you need to do. Get moving. Get after it.
All right. Well, I got work to do. Thanks for watching. No. That's good. And you already kind of touched on it about Naomi being a woman who planned something, and then she worked that plan and saw it through. So it wasn't just a short-term idea and it fizzled out, but she worked that plan.
Yeah, let me talk to our older people. Sometimes older people think that just because they say something, people should listen to them. You don't deserve to get listened to because you had a birthday. Nobody, who gives a rip that you had a birthday? Mm-hmm. So what? You've had 70 of them. Nobody cares. Naomi was listened, and nobody should care, by the way. Naomi was listened to because she was in my opinion, she was a woman of faith, and she had developed a plan. And it was a big ask. I mean, she's telling Ruth, you better do this. And sometimes older folks, especially in America, like, I should be respected and listened to because I'm 50. Being 50 doesn't mean anything. Being a faith-filled 50 means everything. And that's who we need to be listening to. So I don't want somebody, well, nobody listens to me. That might be because of your pattern of life. And your pattern of faithlessness. Man up, woman up, walk with Jesus, live for Christ, and God in his providence, if he has that for you, he'll have that for you. But good grief, man, just live for Jesus and encourage other people to do the same.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I exhausted all my questions.
There you go.
There we go.
Yeah.
It was passionate, though. I love it. I'm excited all over again.
Yeah, that's not hard for me, but
well,
sometimes I listen to people who are like, they're not super passionate, but they're so like well-spoken, and they talk in a soft voice and very melodic and all of that. And I'm like, I wish I could be like that. And I get behind a mic and I'm a coach, you know, it's like, that's just who I am. I used to get upset about it, but now I'm just happy being alive.
Breathing.
So gotta be who God made you.
What are you excited about this month at Canyon Ridge?
Well, man, I'm really pumped. This Sunday we have a revival, special Bible conference with Dr. R.P. Ouellette, great mentor of mine. I'm excited about him being here. That's going to be fantastic. We have the next week, we have Memorial Day weekend. I'm looking forward to all the guys and ladies in the military in their uniforms. Those who are out of the military trying to get into their uniforms is always hilarious. And last year, Bernie was in his, you know, lieutenant uniform for the first time in 18 years. That thing looked like stretch pants on an elephant, man. I was just waiting for him to bend over and them to go flying across the room. They split so quick. So it's always a joy to see. And it's just fun. I'm looking forward to that. Getting ready for youth camp.
Yeah, it's coming.
And so, no, the Lord's been good. I'm excited about it.
Amen. Well, what's your pen for today? You got a new one I've never seen before.
Yeah, this is the Opus 88. I really liked the color. It was it's an interesting vacuum fill. So you put it in and you have a vacuum tube and it sucks it in vacuum. But this one, you control the flow of the ink by how open you keep the tab. So if you close this like you do on most vacuum fills, for whatever the reason is, it doesn't work. And I was getting ready to take it back, but I did some research online before I did. So you got to keep it open a little bit. And a little gives you a little ink. A lot gives you obviously more. And so the Opus 88, inexpensive fountain pen. I say inexpensive. For most people, it would not be inexpensive. But if you're a fountain pen person, and I love the look and fun to write with, fun daily writer. And so
I like that you can control the ink.
Yeah, that's really cool, isn't it?
That's super cool.
I'd never seen that. So, yeah, I'm enjoying that.
It's never fun when you have too much. Or not enough, I guess.
I'd rather have too much than not enough, but yeah. No, it's a bummer. I say that. I've had too much, and it's not been cool at all. It's like been all over my shirt or something like that. So that's not cool. I'd rather have not enough. So,
well, thanks for your time, Pastor.
Great day, and looking forward to seeing God do some great things. Thanks for setting it up.
Amen. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to The Afterthoughts Show with Zane Garza and Chris Chadwick. To listen to the sermon that inspired this episode, check out Canyon Ridge Baptist Church on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or YouTube. For information about our church, Pastor Chadwick, or how to know Jesus is your Savior, visit our website at canyonridgesandiego.com. Canyon Ridge is a growing church located in beautiful San Diego, California. If you're in the San Diego area, make plans to visit us this Sunday. We'll see you next time.